You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan boasts an exceptionally rich mix of folk, ethnic, and immigrant music, and it goes back centuries. University of Michigan music professor Lester Montz wanted to capture that rich tapestry, so he spearheaded the Michigan Musical Heritage Project, and what a story it tells. Lester, so good to have you with us here on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's great to be here.
Now, this project seemed to have three distinct goals. What are they?
One is to complete a full documentary on Michigan music. We hope to have that broadcast on some public television station. We hope to have cooperation from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and so forth. The second goal is to create an archive, a video archive of Michigan's music. We have a number of archives with audio examples, but not much with video. So that's the second goal. And then the final goal is for me to teach a course here at the university on Michigan music. I scoured through all of the catalogs of the public institutions in the state. I did not see one course that's fully dedicated and devoted to Michigan music, and I hope to be the first.
When we say Michigan music, what ethnic and immigrant traditions really jump out at you when we talk about Michigan music?
Not one really jumps out. Yeah. We're such a musical mosaic in this state that so many different immigrant groups, ethnic groups, folk groups have moved into the state, mm-hmm. and many of them have maintained or compartmentalized much of their music and culture, but others have sort of fused together in such a way that they have created something very new.
So give me an idea of some of these traditions that either – who are the more standalone ones versus who've done more morphing and evolving?
Well, look to the Irish Folk Music Festival in Muskegon. You do have a combination of both the things we were talking about. First, you have music that has benefited from jazz, from folk music, from other European immigrant groups. First of all, you have the fusion of the Scottish and the Irish together. And then on the other hand, you have this bluegrass music that takes shape in terms of its improvisation from jazz and other kinds of popular music. And so, you have in this one setting this real eclectic performances of music, which is really exciting.
Yeah, in fact, we should do a shout-out because that Michigan Irish Festival is coming up in Muskegon in September, and it has been going for years. I was at the very first one when it was still very tiny and getting started, and it's been great to see it.
It was a lot of fun for us last summer.
Yes, and so you kind of spent the summer last year crisscrossing around the state going
last
to different
summer,
festivals, right?
The summer of 14 and the summer of 15 and 16. We have been scouting all of this out, and we have one more summer to go. There's so much happening in Michigan music. You can't cover it all in one summer. And because we have to travel far distances to the Upper Peninsula, way out west, sometimes it takes us a whole weekend just to cover one festival.
And what are some of the other festivals that you've been able to grab?
We just came back from the Port Sanilac Blues Festival. This weekend, we're going to the Midland Festival. We've been to festivals in Hart, Michigan, the Hispanic Celebration there. We've been to the old-time Fiddler's Convention in Hillsdale. There are about 25, 26 different festivals that we've attended. So there are many.
And the idea is, as you say, video. So unlike the very, very famous Lomax field recordings of the 20th century, you've got new technology to work with.
Well, you know, I knew Alan Lomax in my early days as an ethnomusicologist when he was still alive. He did some wonderful work here in Michigan, but he's not alone. A professor, an English professor in the engineering college years ago, a fellow by the name of Ivan Walton, collected a lot of music from stevedores, from loggers, from miners. And a lot of that music is in the Bentley, along with all of Ivan's handwritten notes. And I've looked at some of that. It's exhaustive. Mm. And then there's Laurie Summers, who operates out of the Michigan State Museum. She's done a lot of work on the Lomax collection. But you're absolutely right. What Lomax did was a lot of audio recording. We're following up on some of Lomax's work. I mean, just to show the time depth and how things have changed since the 1930s. And the early part of this century.
It strikes me that I was listening to some clips as you talked to people at these different festivals. And it seemed no matter what group you're talking to, you could be at the Irish Festival in Muskegon, you could be at a German festival, but people have that same – they express the same feelings when they hear their music.
When they hear their music and they appreciate someone from the University of Michigan coming to record and explore the things that they enjoy. And that's been an expression that we've heard all over the state. Boy, we're really happy for you to be here. We really want to see ourselves on PBS. We really want to hear ourselves perform. And I must tell you, the level of performance that I've heard from some of these musicians is just astounding. I spent many years of my life as an orchestral trumpet player, playing with some of the top orchestras in the country. And I must say that the skill and musicianship that I have experienced around this state is just astounding.
Well, interestingly, you're going to give future generations a really wonderful snapshot of the way things are right now in the early part of the 21st century so they can measure down the road.
You'd be a great ethnomusicologist because that's one of the things that we often study, and that is how music changes, all right? And we have to have certain points along a timeline to make those kinds of comparisons to, through analysis, figure out how that music has changed. I mean, I've done this with the work I've done in Africa. I've even done some of it with the work I've done in China.
Interesting, interesting. And so what's coming next? You're pulling this together. You still have another summer to hit festivals.
Yes. We're going to spend the winter months interviewing people. I want to speak with Fran Bluen, who is on our history department faculty. I mean, he's a historian of Michigan. I want to, you know, talk to him about how these various groups, immigrant groups, folk groups came into the state. I want to have some sit-down time with some of these musicians. I see them performing at these festivals. And in that context, it's very difficult to have a sit-down interview. So I want to invite them down to the campus, possibly for a lecture series, and to get the intimate details about how they were trained, what kinds of performance opportunities they've had, how they pass on these traditions to the next generation, so on and so forth.
Interesting. And eventually, I'm hoping, because I love folk music, I love ethnic music, that there'll be a big, juicy website for the rest of us to be able to plunge into and listen and explore what you've done.
We have a website that is about to launch. And it has a number of examples of the music that we've collected. Right now, we have a YouTube channel, and we have a number of pieces that we've collected over the past two summers just to give people some idea of the work that we've been doing.
So if they search for Michigan Musical Heritage Project on YouTube, up it will come.
They will find it.
Exciting, exciting work from University of Michigan musical professor Lester Mons and his team, the Michigan Musical Heritage Project. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Oh, my pleasure.